The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, this is Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Normally, I'm not a nerd, but I am with my brother Andy on Tech Talk Radio. God bless. Stay safe.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin Lemmy. Welcome.
I thought, you know, let's get right into the show this week. We're gearing up for the holidays. They're just around the corner. A lot of people thinking, what am I going to buy this year? So we'll get back.
Oh, speaking of that, Andy, did you have the spare bedroom ready for us?
You're coming out?
Oh, I thought you knew that. I'm coming to visit you.
No, I had no idea. I didn't know.
We're going to have Thanksgiving at your house.
Really? With the cost of food?
He's like, you're going to pay for it, right?
John's coming as well, yeah. We call the spare bedroom Comfort Inn.
No, we call the spare bedroom at your house the studio.
The studio, yeah. Studio with a cot. You'd be sleeping in the studio. That would be great. You know, it's great because you could reach out to us anyway on our website. We, you know, have a contact form. You can also do it through social media. That's probably the best way. And, you know, it's funny because that's the way most people will connect with you now is social media. We even have a phone line, and I give the phone number out, 520-777-9580. You can call.
What's a phone?
Right? But you could call and leave a message, a voice message, a question, a comment, and we might air it back.
Nobody leaves voice messages anymore, dude. No. You know what? You know what's funny about that is I actually changed my, because I use my, I have one phone, right? For my personal and for work. I changed my greeting on my phone. It says, hey, you've reached Justin. Do me a favor. Don't leave a message. Text me like anybody that, like, I can't remember exactly what it says. Like, so just do me a favor. Don't leave a voice message. Just text me.
Yeah. It's the easiest way to get in touch with you, or the easiest way to get in touch with us as well.
Yeah.
But we did get some comments, and I wanted to make sure that Rick, his comment is certainly noted. He left a comment for us through Facebook. And Sean, this is all about you.
Yes.
Rick wrote, regarding Sean not wanting AI in his house. You remember we had that discussion a couple weeks back?
We've had that discussion yet.
Yeah.
You already do.
Rick says, I'm the same way. Said, I don't like giving verbal commands. I just prefer the quietness of picking up a device and choosing what I need. I like the smart home devices, but don't want to speak to them. Plus, I don't want to give a command and hear, sorry, I don't understand that. You don't know how many times I get that. It's just another frustration of life to deal with. I have Siri, but rarely use it. I was Android phone for years. Last was the S9 Plus due to cost savings over the iPhone. But this year we switched due to the fact the new Galaxy was as much money as an iPhone. Plus, Apple quality is better than Samsung. Justin?
Whoa! Whoa! Them's fighting words, Rick.
I don't know. I saw some pictures this week that were taken with the S21 Ultra. And I got to say, they're pretty mind-blowing. I mean, they're pretty amazing. I can't do the same low-light photos that I can't replicate those with my iPhone device, but what I saw with the 21 Ultra in low light was really amazing. He said that my wife's S9 Plus started to delaminate front to back. That's not good. Samsung, after a year, gives up on your phone. No new major updates. Now, I don't know if that's entirely 100% accurate, is it?
No.
No? Okay.
I have no idea.
Not after 1 year. No.
Apple does the same thing. Yeah, he says Apple goes much longer in upgrading OS versions, but as we have found with some devices, they will get to a point where, you know, I've got an old iPad I can't do anything with.
I think iPhone 8 was the last one that will accept iOS 16.
Right.
So you won't be able to go past iOS 16 on the iPhone 8.
Now, one thing that Apple users will say that they really love, and I'd love to get myself back into the Mac, said, I will say, I feel they all work together very well, iPhone, iPad, the watch. So, you know, the combination of all of them kind of working together has been something that he's really enjoyed. So,
well, sure. Yeah. I mean, if that's their thing, if you want all your devices to be synced up together with everything going on, I mean, yeah, Apple does do that very well. I'll give them that.
Yeah. But now, have you had a chance to try it yet? Because you're the Google Pixel 7, right? Or are you on 6?
I'm a 6 Pro.
Okay, you're 6 Pro. Have you tried to do the Windows 11 integration with the Android devices yet?
I have not. No, okay. I haven't had the time yet.
That would be cool. Now, I did see something I thought was a little ridiculous because, as you know, I got a chance to take a look at the Fold, the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold, 4 Fold. Yeah, it was okay. I mean, there was the crease down the middle of it kind of bothered me a bit. It's not as pronounced as I thought it was going to be, but you can see it. And I'm just wondering, opening and closing it so many times, if that's going to be a major factor. And then trying to decide how to use the phone. I've got it open, get a phone call. Do I just pick the whole thing up and use it? Like I got a brick on the side of my head. So that was one thing I noticed about it. But I will say that now I have heard that Google is planning to do the same thing with Pixel. That they and this conjecture and rumor, but they are saying that eventually we'll see a Pixel Fold.
Well, yeah, no, they're already talking about that. The Pixel Fold's going to come out probably late 2023, maybe 2024. You know, you've got Samsung's already doing that already. And then the Pixel tablet is going to be coming out, rumored in 2023. So that's going to be interesting to see a Pixel tablet.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. And are you eventually going to go to the 7, the Pixel 7?
No, probably not. I usually skip a generation, so I'll probably go with like the Pixel 8.
Yeah, how many generations, Sean, did we skip before we made upgrades and updates?
Well, I went from the 7 Plus. So I've made relatively significant jumps in all of my iPhones, right? So I went from the 3 Plus, the iPhone 3GS, or right, whatever it was, to the 4, to the 5S, to the 7 Plus. Then to the 13 Pro.
Right. Oh, I wow. held it the 6 so, and went to the 8, had the 8, and now I'm on the Pro Max. But again,
so I went seven generations of phones, right? So six generations, 7 to 13. So
there are some people, though, that will feel like they have to upgrade every, you know, every new device. And you really, I mean, you don't have to.
There was nothing. I mean, outside of some screen size and
SOS service,
some functionality.
Yeah.
The 7 Plus, if I had to, I could go back to that and be just fine with it, right? It had the home button still, right? So that was one of the last versions that had the home button. I think the 8 might have had it as well.
Yeah.
And then the storage space, right? I was running, I think, 256 gig, I think, on the 7 Plus.
Right.
Which was fine. But mm-hmm. I've got 1 terabyte on here.
Oh, that's a lot of storage.
One terabyte. What?
Really?
Yeah, I got the 1 terabyte storage on here.
Wow.
What is that?
That's the iPhone 13 Plus.
Yeah.
13 you got a Plus. Terabyte of storage on your phone?
Mm-hmm. I've got.
Why would you even need that?
I never have to delete it. Never have to delete anything.
I have got the terabyte on the Pro Max. Now, I've already decided, though, I get mine ordered because they have been on back order. I'll be going with the 512. Maybe even the 256. Because I'm 64 now with my 8 that I had previous. So, but do I really need to do that?
Well, I mean, I'm talking up to this, right? I've got Max is 7 months old, about to be 8 months old, right? I am taking a buttload of photos and videos, right? And it's I'm taking 2 or 3 videos a day, 4 or 5 pictures of them every day, right? So that's definitely going to add up over time. So I don't want to have to just go, oh, I got to delete these cute pictures of Max because my storage is full, right? I want to keep all the cute pictures of Max and all the cute videos, right?
Google Photos,
yeah.
It all gets backed up to Google Photos, but I don't want to have to dig through Google Photos to find stuff. I'd rather just have it on my device. I don't have to download it from Google Photos when it expires on my phone or clear up space on my phone. So there's no, it made sense.
You know what I really like?
You don't sound convinced, Sean.
Yeah.
I don't sound convinced.
You sound like you're trying to make excuses for something. You're like, you know what? I really didn't need this, but I really got to play this off like I needed it.
I definitely didn't need it. I'm not going to lie. Did I need a 1 terabyte? No.
Right.
Yeah.
But see, you have
I called it. Did I get it because I could? Sure.
You have that room. Like, when you buy an SD card for your GoPro, You're not going to buy one that's got limited capacity. You're going to get the most you can get, right?
Yeah, how could I have done that 11-day time lapse if I bought a 200 meg video memory card?
No, what Sean does with his GoPro is he just buys a Synology NAS and just attaches it to the GoPro.
Wait, is that what you're planning?
But I am buying a Synology, and we'll talk about that in a little
bit. All right, I want to mention something, though, to you, both of you, actually. A product that I looked at, featured on television, and it's been sitting there, and I bought it, and it's been sitting in my laptop case. I found it the other day. I go, oh, I remember this, because it uses a Lightning port, but it also has USB-C on it. And it's from SanDisk. It's the iXpand drive. Have you guys ever tried one of these?
No.
It is super cool. So it's a small thumb drive that you can take with the Lightning port. I couldn't do it on my 8 because of the OtterBox case, but this new clear case that I'm using on the Pro Max, it's perfect. You plug that in, whether it be Lightning or USB-C, if you've got a device that runs C. And with the app, you can select all photos, certain music files, video files, or even a backup of your entire device, and put it on this little SanDisk drive. And I mean, it's super sturdy drive, and you can carry it with you, or you can even take it and then plug the USB portion of it into your PC or Mac, and you can copy all the files off of that. So for a quick way, if you just like to, you know, have your phone, you don't ever want to lose your phone, maybe you're not storing on iCloud or Google Photo, you put them onto the SanDisk, disconnect it, then put them into your computer and copy them over. Super, super convenient. And if you're looking for a way to back up your photos and you're not under, you know, I know we have a lot of listeners that may say, I don't understand, you know, iCloud, or I don't understand Google Photos, or I don't understand, you know, the Samsung Photos feature. This is a great way to do it. It's very easy. Just with the app, you can run the app and it'll help you transfer all those photos and videos. So something to think about. And again, they're not that expensive. SanDisk iXpand, and they make different models for different devices. And I think the one we have is a 1 terabyte. And that's good for everything. And then copy it to the PC, and then you put them into a folder and you're good to go. Now, one of the other comments we had on the page, which I thought was pretty cool. And again, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/techtalkers, is a gentleman that was coming down the escalator. Do you remember this photo? In one hand, he's got himself a new PS5 console. The other hand, well, he's actually under the same hand, under his arm, he's holding a box that is bigger than the PS5 console of the 4090. All right?
I've seen that.
Okay. And he's got a cute girlfriend that's to his side, but he's got a grin. And we were wondering, why is he grinning so much?
And he just wasted money on the 4090 and he's got to explain it to his side piece. Well, I don't know.
That's what I thought. What is this? Why side he's piece. Yeah. Nice term there, Sean. Yeah. I thought, is this why he's smiling? The grin says it all. But if he bought a killer console, why does he need a pricey graphics card? I mean, the RTX 4090 is
an outpriced graphics card. Like, everybody is all over NVIDIA for the pricing of the 40,000 series. It's absurd.
We thought it was going to be cheaper.
It's stupid how expensive they are for no reason.
Well, Joel left a comment for us, and it's actually okay. Joel said the best combo is a PC with a PlayStation console.
No.
Well, you don't agree?
No. No.
He said nearly all the Microsoft exclusives are available on Windows, and the Sony exclusives will be on your console. And if you want, you can have the Nintendo console too.
No.
No?
No, I have an Xbox and I have a PC, and very rarely do I find the same console releases on PC.
Right.
You have to have Xbox Game Pass even to get access to most of those. But a lot of times, a lot of those games, I mean, yes, we're talking about major AAA titles.
Right.
Yeah, probably. But there are so many games you cannot get with it. And so I see what he's saying.
But what about with the PlayStation console, though? Not the Xbox console.
PlayStation. I think the best setup is I don't know. Now I'm starting to second guess this. Because, I mean, yes, you're missing out on a lot of stuff with the Xbox, right. Honestly, if you don't have an Xbox. But
yeah.
It maybe, yeah, I guess I can see what he's saying. Maybe in a way, yeah, PC, you get like 70% of the stuff that's on Xbox. Maybe 50% or so, but yeah, something like that. And then you get the Sony stuff with the PlayStation. So yeah, I guess I could see what he's saying.
I think the
I feel like there's not going to be this. I mean, you have those major title exclusives,
right?
That are only on Xbox or only on PS4 or PS5 or whatever. But I feel like there's too much money in making cross-platform games nowadays. So What benefit does a studio have in making a Sony-only platform or an Xbox-only platform? There's no benefit to them because they're tapping into one side of an already engorged market that it doesn't make sense financially. So what board member is going to sit there and go, yeah, let's make an exclusive that's going to make half the money?
Well, you know what I thought was crazy? I don't know if you heard the news this past week that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it just came out just this week. It's the Shredder one that was big on the PlayStation 4. That they were putting out a port for PlayStation 5. But the game developers said there is no difference between the PS4 version and Sean already got it. But Sean, here's the deal. He says there's no difference with the PS4 version and the PS5 version.
Because and there was, most of the games haven't been created with the technology that the PS5 or the Xbox Series X has.
So they just go ahead and...
You know, certain games are actually just now saying... I don't remember which game. I just saw an article. Whether it was The Witcher, that they're releasing the PS5 version that's going to have new content and upgraded graphics and some specialties for the PS5. So if you already own it, you're going to get it.
Right.
So, which is cool. But So I'm a huge Ninja Turtles fan. I have been for a long time, right? So,
right.
I pre-ordered this when it was announced for the Switch, right? It's the Cowabunga Collection, which is pretty much all of the Turtles games from their gaming history. It's got the originals, it's got the Super Nintendo versions, it's got the Sony versions, it's got the arcade versions, it's got it's incredible. It's been a lot of fun. And what's cool about it with the Switch and the having Nintendo online is I can play the multiplayer versions with my brother. So we can play Turtles in Time, which is probably one of my favorite games of all time
right.
for the Super Nintendo, Turtles in Time. So I pre-ordered it. I pre-ordered the physical version because I'm big on games that I really like. I like getting the physical versions.
Right.
So I can have the box and stuff. But this past weekend, I had a friend who retired from the Navy. We had a party for him.
Right.
We just wanted to have a game night. So I brought some board games, but I also said, you know what? I'm going to throw it back. I'm going to throw back to 2003.
Wow.
So I packed up my PS2, my four port multi-tap, and we played Time Splitters Future Perfect.
Wow.
For the PS2.
You have a PS2 now, still works.
Where was your event? Was it in your hometown or where you live now?
It was in up in Ludington where I grew up.
Oh, so he lives up in there now?
Yeah, they moved back to Michigan, yeah.
That's cool.
So it was crazy because I opened up the box. The disc is in there. The memory card is in the memory card slot at the top.
Right.
But the manual was in there.
Oh,
when was the last time you bought a game that had a manual in it?
Hey, I know, right?
I bought a stove the other day. I didn't get a manual with it.
And they said, scan this QR code. Seriously? That's plastered, that sticker that you got to peel off the side of your washing machine.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long. It's 20 years, right? But, right, things haven't changed that much, but it's crazy because you load in that game and you're seeing all your old profiles and the time you spent playing that game. And then you look at the amount of content that was available in a $30 game when you bought it.
Yeah.
The number of game modes, online play, all the side stuff. There's a ton of content in that one game from 20 years ago. So it's crazy just to think of how that's changed. And now we're looking at just getting new versions of the same game for newer consoles, right? It's like, it's crazy just how much the gaming industry has changed, but it was cool to sit down and have some nostalgia about that game. The graphics were terrible because we were up converting it to a 4K TV. It looked terrible.
Oh, Lord.
But it was fun to play it and fun to log back into that profile that I haven't played in 15 years or so. And
Would you say would it be fair to say that the gaming industry gave you more game, say 10, 20 years ago than you get now? I mean, let's face it, the graphics are great now. The sound design is great. The music is great. But as far as gameplay, did you get more gameplay back 20 years ago?
I guess it depended on which series you bought, right? If you bought into a dedicated series or a chronicle of a series of games or chronicle, maybe.
No, I don't think so.
No,
I think you get more now
because you've got games. I mean, they're not even physical discs anymore. I mean, you're talking about digital content, but look at games like Skyrim or look at games like Assassin's Creed.
How about Red Dead Redemption 2?
Red Dead Redemption 2. I mean, these games are massive. You would never get the same amount out of a game that you would back then that you do now.
Yeah.
So many more hours of gameplay.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah. I do talk to some people who like a game like Stray who say they finished it in one day.
Well, sure, because they have no life.
What? I'm being honest. I never took that into consideration.
Yeah. You sit there for 12, 14, 16 hours. Yeah, you're going to finish a game in a day because an average game takes between 16 and 20 hours to finish. Average game.
So you play an hour here, an hour there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
and that's what they're kind of aiming towards is people like normal people that actually have a job or family or something to do. And then you get these people that are like, oh, yeah, I finished the game in one day. Or like the new Call of Duty comes out and 24 hours later, you've already got, 1,700 people that are level 55 and they're, yeah, I'm level 55, bro. Yeah, have you ever gotten out of your seat to go pee in the last 24 hours? Or are you just sitting there on your Funyuns and Mountain Dew in your mom's basement?
Like, wow.
No, I mean, seriously, these people, they think it's an achievement to be the first person to get level 55 in Call of Duty. I'm like, that's actually just kind of sad, to be honest.
I never thought of that.
And the first ones to complain about the lack of new content.
Exactly.
I'm wondering, what was the first game that blew you away? The first game you ever played that made you go, whoa.
Oh, man. I don't know. Sean, what do you think?
Suikoden for the PS1.
Well, okay. It was a good one.
Or even a little bit further back, Harvest Moon 64. I thought was a great game.
A lot of people played that
Ocarina of Time. I mean, there's so many good games that I played growing up. GoldenEye was amazing.
GoldenEye
would be right there on the top of my list. But I have to say, I mean, because Sean, you're younger than me. So I would have to say the first game that blew me away was Wolfenstein 3D.
The
original Wolfenstein.
The original.
Even before that, you had Doom, but Doom still used like the internal computer speaker. You know, Wolfenstein 3D was the first one to use the new revolutionary sound blaster technology that you could actually have voices and hear footsteps and things like that. And so that game really blew me away. Wolfenstein 3D was the first one that really, did it for me. But GoldenEye is right there.
GoldenEye's got to be on. Where are we with this GoldenEye reboot? I mean, has there been more talk about that?
I don't know.
There has been. It comes and goes, man. They talk about it for a little bit, get everybody hyped up, and then nothing.
Yeah.
And then they talk about it again a year later, and then nothing. So I don't know, man.
Do you guys remember Medal of Honor?
Yes, of course. The Medal of Honor games were awesome, too.
The Call of Duty, the Walmart version of Call of Duty.
Basically, that's what it was. The first Medal of Honor, I remember, Omaha Beach, Normandy, the whole bit. Playing that, I remember when I was done, it was like I had to sit back and go, whoa, that was intense. I mean,
that was actually really good with that. Yeah.
They captured some great gameplay. And I was playing lots of like Rayman and Curse of Monkey Island and, other games like that, Flight Sim.
Of Monkey Island.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Back to the new? Oh, the new one.
I've seen the graphics and it kind of blew me away a little like, whoa, what the heck
it's
is
really
that?
Good.
Played it? Have you had a chance to see it? Or
I have it.
Really? And you like it?
Yeah. I do. It's not my go-to game because right. I don't really play story games all that much, to be honest, but it is a fun game. But it's very linear. Like, you have to do this before you do that. And then the next day is you got to do this before you do that. Ah. So, like, it's very, very linear. And I don't really like linear games. I like to be able to explore and do things on my own time. So
now PC Game Pass is still available, right?
What do you mean?
PC so like I want to play. So I want to play the Microsoft PC Game Pass because I want to play Flight.
No, they don't have that anymore. It's called Xbox Game Pass.
Xbox. Okay, Xbox Game Pass. So yeah. I want to play Flight Sim on my PC. I have got a few days off. No radio at all. Nothing. Because, you know, I have like five jobs in radio. And I'm done. I mean, I can just...
You're going to be so bored.
I know. But I'm thinking, I want to play some computer games. So I was thinking if I start paying again and I could get the Xbox Game Pass and play Flight Sim on the PC. Is that still available?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, yeah, you can... Yeah, on Xbox Game Pass, you can definitely download it. What do you got for a graphics card, though?
I'm running a 1080. Don't make laugh too loud.
No, yeah, it'll run fine on a 1070. I was running it on 1070.
Yeah.
Yeah, and low settings.
Right.
So it still ran.
I really want to get this new RTX, this new Radeon that everybody's talking about that is supposed to be pretty good and is not going to be too crazy when it comes to price.
Well, Radeon's never too crazy when it comes to price.
Yeah.
And Radeon RX 7900 XT.
Yeah. People are saying that this is a card, and they're comparing it a lot to the 4080.
Mm. So 7900?
Yeah.
So yeah. Here's a quick comparison, right? The compute units, or the SM count, if you're looking at NVIDIA, is 84 to NVIDIA 76. 20 gigs of memory. 320-bit memory bus compared to NVIDIA's 256, 52 teraflops in the shaders compared to NVIDIA's 4080 49 teraflops, DisplayPort 2.1,
right,
and they're priced out at $899.
That's a lot better than what you're going to spend on a
available
even a
December 13th of this year.
December 13th?
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Well, and now, you know, with the 2.1 port on that, if you want to get that new... Odyssey G, was it the new G9 series that's going to be capable of 8K? This is going to be something new from Samsung and their monitor division. You need to have a 2.1 port, so you'd be ready for that one if you want to get that.
It's interesting.
I'm not sure how much that monitor is going to go for, but that is something that's going to be coming down the pike. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We mentioned Synology just a little bit ago, so we're going to talk about that and why this could be a great solution for you. Also, we got a new product in from Wyze and something new they've mentioned. So we'll get with the Wyze guy, Sean, all about that. We come back. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin Lemme. Find us on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
We're verified.
And now back to Tech Talk Radio.
One of the world's richest men has been visited by the ghosts of Christmas past.
Oh, no.
Christmas present.
Right.
And Christmas future. We're talking about none other than Amazon founder Jeff Bezos.
Really?
So it was actually talked about on the news earlier this week that Jeff Bezos, who is currently worth $124 billion and counting.
Right.
Along with his new partner, Lauren Sanchez, said during a CNN interview that he is planning to give away a majority of his $124 billion fortune to fight certain causes, namely climate change and division in American public life. This says to me, I mean, this guy is literally just like a Scrooge 2.0. I mean, if you think about A Christmas Carol, right?
Right.
I mean, you got Scrooge who was a businessman who treated his employees like crap,
yeah,
who was just, he didn't pay them well. He was, you know, just raked in all the money all the time. And then he got visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. And then he changed his ways and he's like, oh no, I'm going to give away my fortune and I'm going to do good by society. And I'm going to, this is exactly what's happening right here is Jeff Bezos is doing this.
Well,
and
It sounds very gallant, but I'm thinking, in the same breath, we're approaching the holidays, and now all of the majors, CNBC, New York Times, Bloomberg, all of them reporting that Amazon is planning to cut 10,000 jobs. And this is the time where you would think, wait a minute, you're going to be, did they hire too many people? I know that Meta, they laid off a whole bunch of people, and they said it was because they thought the comeback from COVID was going to be bigger than it was, and it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, it's across the board. I mean, Amazon thrived during the pandemic. I mean, they made more money than ever during the pandemic. Zoom made more money. Facebook, Twitter, all these companies made a ton of money during the pandemic because everybody was stuck at home. But now nobody is, and they don't need as much of that business anymore. So I get it. I mean, they invested heavily into this thing thinking it was going to last for a long time. And it didn't. And now they're like, well, now we got to lay off some people.
I kind of wonder, do you think maybe we'll see some local retailers or even the big box retailers that are within towns starting to do a little better now? Maybe people won't be ordering off Amazon. They'll be walking into Best Buy. They'll be walking into, you know, mom and pop shops that we have, you know, here in Green Valley or there for you in Denver.
Unfortunately, I don't think so. Amazon's got such a stranglehold on it. I really don't. I don't see how that's going to. I mean, I still go visit my local Best Buy.
Yeah.
You know, and if I need something right now, then, yeah, I will. But, you know, for the most part, you know, Amazon still just got that stranglehold on things. However, it does have to be said that Amazon is definitely losing its touch on certain aspects of the e-commerce industry because, you know, their rating system can't be trusted anymore.
Yeah.
You know, these companies that make all these products, a lot of them are Chinese companies that are making these cheap electronic products. What they do is they'll do shady tactics where they'll either list a product. This is the new one that's happening right now. They'll list a product for sale. You go to order it. Then they basically send you an email saying, hey, the product is out of stock. We need you to go into your orders and click cancel order so that way we can, you know, move on with our lives. But the thing is if the seller cancels the order, that would be the company, right?
Right.
If the company cancels the order, which they should if they don't have any stock, they get dinged by Amazon as a negative point. However, if they tell the customer to delete their order, to cancel their order, that company doesn't get a ding on their thing, and it still counts as a sale. And that's how they get their products to the top of the list, is by how many sales they've had. So what they'll do is they'll just list products for dirt cheap and say, yeah, PS5 for $5, sure. You go to order it, and they're like, oh, you know what? We're out of stock. I'm going to need you to go ahead and cancel that order. And now their company just goes to the top of the list of Amazon's algorithm, and then they can start selling whatever they want. And so you can't trust Amazon's rating system. And honestly, Amazon's rating system and their algorithm is completely broke. And so that could be a downfall to them, honestly.
Yeah. Do you trust reviews when you go?
No.
I mean, I will read them, and just to kind of, you know, so even if it says verified buyer, that really doesn't mean a whole hill of beans.
No. Because you could have an employee of that company buy something.
Yeah, I do read them to get an idea of the product and what some of the features are, and read not just one, not just positive. We'll look for negative, do the whole bit.
Yeah, me too.
But I guess you really can't go with one stellar review or one terrible review, because in the flip side, it could be competition.
Of course. That's absolutely
kind of like what we saw with Yelp. You know, that same kind of thing happens. But, that's kind of cool about Bezos. You know, Scrooge 2.0, it's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But we'll see how it turns out. We'll see.
All right. Now, speaking of that, when Sean decided to buy himself a Synology, did you do any reviews or write, you know, read any reviews when it came to which product to get and which vendor to get it from?
I went off peer review. So I know Justin had a Synology.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My friend Steve has a Synology, and it came recommended to me by our data guys at the university. So now it's just kind of figuring out what style or what size or what spec of Synology that I want to get. Right. So
well, what are the size of your hard drives?
4 terabyte.
Oh, man. You can get away with the 920 just like me.
Yeah. So I've been I want to get, I'd like to have, obviously, the more data, the better, the more storage, the better, right? But in what reality am I going to fill up? If I get a 4-bay and I put in four terabyte drives.
You'll have a 12 terabyte spinny.
I'll have a 12 terabyte parity, right?
Right.
The spinny drives, yeah. They have to be spinny drives. They're not. They don't support
SSD. No, some of the newer versions of the technology, which I've been looking at, you can do solid states. So I thought that was kind of cool. Their slim versions only take the 2.5-inch drives or the 2.5-inch solid states. So I thought that was kind of cool. And some of them are even offering M2 drive slots now.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, the reason I'm going with the 3.5 spinnies is we did a huge SAN storage upgrade at work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when they got rid of the old storage that had relatively low read-write time on it, they surplused all of the drives. So it was first come, first serve, take as many drives as you want.
Wow.
And nice. they're four terabyte enterprise level storage drives.
Hold on, but how long have those been used? Because I mean, we're talking, if those things have been in production for years.
They're low hours. I went through and I picked up low hour ones, so I'm confident that I'll get plenty of life out of them.
They probably have records show when they were put into service. Correct. As well. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. I like that. Now, so for our listeners who don't understand, can you explain a little? Justin, you have one, I know already. Yeah. What is Synology all about?
Well, Synology is known for creating what they call a NAS, and that's called a network attached storage. So it's kind of a standalone computer, really. But it is, all it does is it's just a storage bay. So I have a 4-bay, it's the 920 plus, I think it was. I can't remember the exact model off the top of my head. I think it's the 920 plus, but it is a 4-bay Synology NAS, and it has its own power supply, obviously. And then it has just a single, well, actually it has dual Ethernet ports. If you want to run like a lag and you want to have, you know, a 2 gigabit throughput or more, you can do that. I just have a single gigabit port. But it runs its own operating system, so it runs a Synology operating system. Comes with a web interface where you can get into the web interface and you can see all your files. You can download new packages, things like Docker. You can install Docker. You can install Kubernetes. You can install install VMware, but they have their own virtual PC. Type of app that you can do where you can spin up your own virtual PCs.
Wow.
Heck, I can even run Minecraft. So I got Docker. Docker is the container, and I'm not even going to explain Docker. You'll just have to kind of look it up. But I run a Minecraft server for my local network here within Docker on my Synology. So my Minecraft server for me and my son runs 24/7. However, it's not publicly facing, so nobody can access it from the internet. It's only just for our own internal network. So my son will play on the Xbox, and I'll play on the PC. But there's a lot you can do with the Synology, and I love it. I run my Plex server off of the Synology.
Right.
So again, that's always running. It's always online. And my Plex server is accessible from the internet if you have, you know, if you've been invited to the server. But yeah, no, it's great. And I love it. I've got 4 2-terabyte drives in a RAID 5 configuration. So that would be 3 active drives and 1 parity drive. In case one of them fails, that parity drive kicks in and rebuilds the bad drive. So I have a total of 6 terabytes of data that I can have. And for me, I thought there's no way in heck that I could possibly fill up 6 terabytes of data. But that's becoming quickly untrue, especially with using Acronis True Image.
Right.
You know, I was using their software. I was doing backups of my PC. And I got to say, I know this is going to sound a little negative, but I could not figure out a way to make Acronis do incremental. I told it to delete the old backups, it wouldn't do it. And I don't know if it's a bug with the software or what, but my Synology got to the point where it was choking on itself. Like, I've got 25 megabits of data left. Help me. You know, and I'm like, dude, you got 6 terabytes. What are you talking about? You got 25 megs left of free space. And then I'd look and it's like backup, 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 backup,
so
backup.
It's backing them up, but it's not deleting them once it makes the other one.
Yeah. And again, this is,
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, it's not deleting them, and it's not really making incremental. It's doing full backups each time, and it's taking like, you know, 500 gigs each backup. And, you know, this is not a knock on Synology. It's in a way, it's a little bit of a knock on Acronis, and maybe that's just me not understanding the app as well. But I looked around, I couldn't figure out a way. But regardless, my Synology would fill up real quick.
Wow.
And I also have it set up on my phone, by the way, that whenever I take a picture, I know, yes, my pictures on my phone get backed up to Google Photos.
Right.
But also they come with a Synology DS app. And I don't know what DS stands for, but whatever. But it backs up all my photos to my Synology.
Oh, now that's
automatically.
Cool. That is cool. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That is super so it's a great cool. product. And when you get a Synology, Sean, there's one thing you got to understand. When you get a Synology, you have the choice of using the Synology disk formatting system, kind of like NTFS, right? But it's their own proprietary system. Or you have the ability to use your own, you know, file system, like I said, like NTFS or whatever. I would highly suggest using the Synology. Now, the downside of that is once you format your hard drives with the Synology file system, you will not be able to put those hard drives in any other computer ever again and have it being able to read it, because it basically encrypts the drive with Synology's own first. However, the upside is that you have a lot more freedom with how you want to divide up your drives and have your drives run. And they run a heck of a lot better using the Synology file system. So I would highly recommend that.
Have you had a drive fail in yours and had to replace it?
Not yet.
That's one of your concerns, right?
Is it your recommendation to run it in a RAID 5? Or would
absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, do not run a straight storage. Do not run a striped storage across all disks. You need some sort of a parity, because that day will come. That day will come when one of those drives will fail. And if you do not have a hard drive on standby, now I would highly recommend, if you do not have a hard drive on standby, ready to go, that when that one drive does fail, you better turn off your Synology. Turn it completely off. Do not turn that thing back on until you have replaced that bad drive, because you have one drive that is bad. If you lose a second drive,
forget it.
Your data is gone.
Yeah.
All your data is gone.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no recovering it.
Now, which model would you recommend for Sean?
Well, I think he's looking at the same model I have, the 920 plus, I think.
I've been looking at the 4-bay or the 6-bay, and I just don't see a need to jump to the 6-bay, and it's a $400 problem. It's a $400 price difference.
Yeah.
Right? And I've got my own drives already, right? It's not going to be fully stocked with drives, so I'm looking at probably about $520 or about probably $600 after taxes for the Disk Station DS9 DS920 plus.
Yeah, that's what I have. Now, also, I want to mention, too, I believe the 920 Plus only comes with 4 gigabits of onboard RAM, because, again, it is its own computer, right?
Right.
Now, for the low, low price of $199, you can buy an extra 4 gigs of RAM to put into your DS. Now, Synology tells you that you have to use their RAM. It is branded by them, it is guaranteed by them, but they only support up to a total of 8 gigs of RAM. So for $199, keep that number in your mind, you can buy an extra 4 gigs of RAM. Somebody on Reddit actually bought that RAM chip, tore off the label, the Synology label. It was a Samsung RAM chip. They went online and found a 32 gig RAM chip, that exact model of 32 gigs for like $100.
Oh,
popped it in their computer, or popped it in the Synology, excuse me. And Synology was like, hey, this is not, forget that. You know, just like he basically just clicked right by the error message. It was like, this is not a supported RAM. No, clicked. Okay. Bam. Now his Synology's got 32 gigs of RAM and it works just fine. So don't believe the hype. Don't go and buy that extra memory module from them. Just get yourself the cheaper 32 gigs for $100 versus 4 gigs for $199.
Good point. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We come back. Some new from Wyze has been announced. And, of course, Sean has already got himself a brand new Wyze product. The Wyze guy. We'll do that when we get back. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on the internet. TechTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Everybody knows I love a new Wyze product.
You're right? The Wyze guy. Oh, yeah.
The Wyze guy.
Let me say I'm disappointed right now.
Uh-oh.
Because they don't do pre-orders for anything anymore, so I can't get the cool pre-order stickers anymore.
Oh. Aww.
I've got all these pre-order stickers that were cool, that's saying, like, I pre-ordered, I funded this. They're cool, and I've got them all over my, you know, my
Is that kind of like PC, those, like, I voted stickers?
Yeah, is that what that's like?
It's okay. I've got them on my PC case, and, you know, they look cool, whatever. They announced a new version of the camera.
All right.
And I'm pretty sure I've got a version of every camera that Wyze has to offer now. It is the Wyze Cam version 3 Pro.
Oh,
nice.
Now, what's good about this one versus the previous one?
So it's got a higher resolution sensor in it, a larger sensor in it. It can do up to 2K resolution. For security cameras, right, they don't run 60 frames per second. They don't run 30 frames. They run about 15 to 12 frames per second, depending on their storage capacity and their storage speed. This one has a built-in spotlight on it.
Oh, cool.
It's not super strong. It's only 80 lumens, which isn't very strong.
No.
But if it's set up outside or on your porch or something, it can trigger the light, and it's enough to give you some clarity in the dark. So I think they took a lot of the color night vision stuff from the version 3 camera, which really improved the color night vision. And then the outdoor camera version 2 even took it a step further and enhanced the outdoor quality and the night color quality significantly with that camera. So it's got the 24/7 recording now, which most of the other cameras do, I also think, but 128 gig memory card support, IP65, so meaning you can leave it up outside and it'll be, you know, except in a hurricane, probably. Integrated AI into it, so you don't have to use the cloud to do the AI. The AI processes on the camera, so it's faster response times. Same mounting methods.
Here's the thing about Wyze, Sean, W-Y-Z-E, that I think it kind of hurts them in one respect, because I've had people ask me, are they any good because of the price? You look at Ring, you look at Nest, you look at the other devices that are available on the market, and you see these prices that $179, $200. How much for this camera?
This one is $49.99.
So people right away think, oh, because it's $49.99, it's cheap, and that it's not any good. But honestly, I mean, they're trying to put out a lot of products at a great price. Yeah, you'll pay if you want to have that cloud. That, what do they call that service? That Wyze. Yeah, so Cam Plus, you pay a little for that, but it's still cheaper than what you pay for Nest.
You can pay a flat fee now for an unlimited number of Cam Plus cameras, and I don't remember what that fee is. I'd have to look, because that's what I do, because I've got 7 devices right now that I have Cam Plus subscription. This will be the 8th.
Right.
But, you know, because I've got the 2 outdoor cameras, the Pan Tilt. Yeah, I've got tons of Wyze devices, right?
But do you think that's true? I mean, the fact is their price is cheap. So people have this feeling that
the prices have gone up even too, right? So like, if you look back and look at when I bought the version 2s, they were $24.99 when I bought them.
Yeah.
And then the version 3, when I pre-ordered it, was $29.99.
And now you can find them in retail just about anywhere, which is good. Yeah. Even Roku partnered with them.
Yeah, it's just a Roku branded, you know. Wyze is honestly, the cameras are available from other retailers. They're similar. They're just branded Wyze. They're running Wyze specific firmware and things like that. But they're cheap, and you have to go in knowing that.
All right.
Right? I'm not going in expecting this system to be monitored by a call center, that if somebody knocks at my door, I'm going to get a phone call or an email saying, hey, somebody's at your door. Do you want us to call the police?
Right.
No, I get a motion to text. I get an alert on my phone, and I respond to it at my convenience, right? It's like, it's good. You know, I was at work the other day, and we had a campaigner come by and knock on our door.
Right.
I was like, who's at my door at 3 in the afternoon? Nobody's home. So I pull it up. I see, hey, he's standing there waiting for somebody to answer the door, and then he turns and walks away. You know.
Now, is there two-way? Is there a two-way on that?
There is.
You can.
You can on the doorbell. Yes, on the doorbell. Yes, and on this, the Pro too. The Pro Wyze does also have it.
Hold on. My Wyze cams have two-way as well.
Right.
Yeah. They some of them do. Not all of the versions have it.
Okay.
But the version 1 doesn't.
Version 1? Yeah, I've had two-way.
All right.
On version 1. I could listen and talk to this. Now, it didn't sound very good. It obviously has gotten better. It was like when I would on the version one or whatever, when I would talk to it, it'd be like, you
know. Somebody was there, right?
Yeah, I'd be like, what did you say? What?
All right, now, before you run out of time in the segment, Sean, you did say that they've got a new product as well, as they keep putting out products.
They keep putting out products. I lost track, and I don't own all the Wyze products because it got a little ridiculous, and there's some things that I just don't care about. But they're getting into the router market now.
Oh.
Mm.
So I don't know how I feel about that. That's a pretty busy market.
Yeah.
It's a wireless mesh router, meaning you plug it in and it can expand your wireless network throughout your house via repeaters, essentially, to cover more of your house.
Right.
Now, I don't know how I trust this is the first type of networking device they've really come up with.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if I trust that.
Think about the marketplace. Linksys, TP-Link, Belkin, Netgear.
Ubiquiti. I mean,
you've got so much competition there.
I don't trust. It's weird. I want to say it's going to be cool, but I just don't know how much I trust a company that lied about some security issues back in 2018 and 2020.
Yeah, let's just make them the central hub of our entire network. Sure, why not?
So I don't know how I feel about that, but they have a Wyze mesh router. I think it'll sell well because it's relatively inexpensive. It is $173.
That's really good because right now you're going to drop about $600 at the low point for a good router. And that's actually
Well, I spent $450 on mine.
Right. You got you got a 6E, don't you?
What do you? No, I've got the Asus router. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's.
Yeah, I'm running a Netgear Nighthawk something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's something to look at. You can find more info at Wyze. That's WYZE.com.
Wyze.com. It's right on their homepage. It's if you open up. This is something I don't like about the app. Is that it's got a shopping and it's every time you open it, there's a new device. It pings. It's up. It's in your face.
That's called marketing, Sean.
Yeah, of course.
And I hate it.
We're going to talk about what we're watching. There's a lot of great stuff. New stuff is coming. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more of that. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on Facebook at Tech Talkers. We'll be right back.
And now back to Tech Talk Radio.
So we were thinking and talking about all the shows that we're watching. Or not watching when it comes to so many choices now with you've got Netflix, Hulu, Disney, Paramount, so many different ones. So we thought we'd share these are the shows that we're watching right now. Now, Justin, you're watching one I want to see and I haven't seen it yet. I didn't even know it was out yet.
Yeah, Tulsa King. So that's the new Paramount Plus with Sylvester Stallone. He plays a New York mobster that's been banished to Tulsa, Oklahoma to basically start an empire in Tulsa, where there's no gangsters there. So that's it's a really, really good show. Sylvester Stallone, amazing. Also watching Yellowstone season 5. That's the newest season, right. Just got released this last week. And season 5 is gearing up to be an amazing season.
Now, some people have said that it started off a little slow, but that it's building up. And Kevin Costner's character is now governor?
Yeah, he's governor of Montana now.
I got to go back. I think I stopped watching after season 1. Just one of those things, you know, goes away, then you lose interest. Gosh. You start watching other things.
So you got to go back and watch.
Got a lot to catch up on. Sean, what are you watching?
Nothing new.
Nothing?
I can't, with Max and just work's been busy, like I haven't had time to fully invest. When I watch a new show, I want to watch the show.
Right.
I don't want to be doing something else while I'm watching the show. I've got to be invested, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So Caitlin and I just finished rewatching the second season of Ted Lasso.
I still haven't seen
it. I love Ted Lasso. Right. I'm in the middle of second season right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just finished rewatching that. When I'm not watching shows with Caitlin, I rewatch old shows. I go back to my favorites. My all-time favorite TV show that I've probably watched 15 times through Gummer the Pyle. Whole, all 10 and a half seasons.
What is it?
Stargate SG-1.
Oh, yeah. That was a good show. That was good.
So
that was a good show.
I have all of it on DVD. I've ripped all of the DVDs onto my computer. It's on my Plex server, or you can find it. It's still on Netflix. I can put it on when I'm playing games. I can put it on when I'm editing. I can put it on when I'm taking care of Max. And it's good.
The one that I will recommend for everybody to watch, because it's now available, if you have HBO Max, Christmas Story.
Yes, I want to see that.
Yeah, little Ralphie is grown up. All the kids from the neighborhood are grown up. Darren McGavin, of course, passed away in 2008, so he's not in it. Melinda Dillon, the original mom, is not in it. Instead, it's Julia Haggerty. They say it pays respect for those of us that have lost our fathers. Will really, really be sentimental about this, because it's a great tribute to the character's dad, Ralphie's dad. So anyway, that's, you could see on HBO Max. That's it for this week. We're out of time, but we'll be back next week with more great technology as we get closer to the holidays. I got a bunch of stuff we're going to be looking at for our tech segment, so we'll kind of cover you and fill you in on that. I'm Andy Taylor.
Perfect.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin Lemme. Have yourselves a great week. Hit us up on the website, techtalkradio.com. We'll see you next week.